Okay, but why? It struck me this year that, or the end of 14, that Anne and I have known each other for 40 years. We met in 1974 at university. I remember this really attractive, dark-haired, brown-eyed girl coming in, and turned out to be Anne. And we started courting fairly soon after that as well. Oh, yes. Didn't waste any time. But so we've known each other 40 years. We've been married for 37 of those years. And I've loved her the whole of that time. Now, although I've loved her all those years, there have been minutes within those years when loving her has been a challenge. Because we've because we're very, very different people. I remember one time we bought a table and chairs for the dining room, and every now and again one of us would say over the years, well, why did we buy this, you know? And Anne would quite rightly remind me that it was the only choice that we both didn't hate of the others, you know? I wanted one thing, she wanted another. We were desperate for a dining room suite. It'd gone on, dining table and chairs, and it'd gone on for quite a long time. It takes us ages to make a decision because we cannot agree. And I've come to the, I've been retired now for 6 months, and it's just reinforced my opinion I could never, ever work with Anne. We're just so different in every way, shape, or form that it's absolutely impossible. And that is said from the heart. So if it's so... I know it works too, Lev. I know. but if it's difficult... How many of you find it difficult to work with your partners? Oh, I didn't mean hands, but if you want to put hands up, yeah. That was just like a challenge, really. But obviously heartfelt there, Alison. Yes, I know, fair comment. But if we find it a struggle at times, and not all of us do, obviously, Pete and Kath probably, you know, Mark and Georgie are probably like this all the time. You know? Yeah. Yes. Yes, that's right, say yes. But if we find at times a struggle to work with our loved ones, then even the kids rub me up the wrong way sometimes. But if we find that, then why do we want to work with people in other churches? I mean, to be honest with you, it's difficult enough working with the people in this room very often, as we all know, or is it just me? You know, but because, we're different people, isn't it? We find it a struggle sometimes to work with our loved ones, you know, our special loved ones, our partners, spouses, whatever, our children maybe, and also with people we regard as good friends, you know? And of course, work is another ball game altogether. So why are we... looking outside and saying, well, let's work with other churches. Let's sort of share with them and try to bring the love of Christ to a wider, using a wider base, if you like. And it's something, and you might regard this as a bit of a challenge, perhaps a challenge for 2015, if you're into making sort of New Year's resolutions. It's a challenge that this year, you could look at it, you know, we bought with a price. We're not our own. We bought with a price. And the price was the blood of Christ. And he died for us, and he bought us. And therefore, we can't just do what we want to do. You know, sometimes I've met people who really... even Christians would really be better off as hermits, you know, sort of sitting in some cave somewhere, not relating to anyone at all. But the challenge of Christ is that we're not our own, we're bought with a price. And now he doesn't do that to sort of be cruel to us, to make us work with other people or to do X, Y, or Z, or live moral, ethical lives or whatever it might be, just to wind us up and make it difficult for us. He does it because he knows it's for our own good. It's for our good and for the good of his kingdom. And I've got some verses here I'd like to share with you. One from Romans, chapter 15, verse 5. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity amongst yourselves, as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. There is something about the redemptive work of Christ which is bigger picture than just us as individuals. And the redemptive work of Christ is to bring reconciliation to men and women. And not just reconciliation in a tolerance way, but in a love way. He wants people to bless one another and to love one another. He wants us to bless each other, to love one another, and to love the wider community. And he doesn't just call Gateway to that. That's the commission, that's the challenge, and that's the glory, really, the joy of the whole church. So every Christian in Caerphilly, every church in Caerphilly has the same challenge as us, to love each other and to bring the love and joy of Christ to the world. That is the big picture. It's redemption. The redemption is for the world. The salvation is for the world, and it's to bless the world and bring, you know, it says in the Beatitudes, blessed is the peacemaker, for he shall see God. And, you know, we should be, as individuals, peacemakers. That should be our aim. I know sometimes we slip up. Obviously, I slip up quite a lot on that. But, you know, it is something, you know, for the month of December, I read those few verses that sort of highlight the Beatitudes. Every day for a month to try to make myself more of, you know, a peacemaker and you know, blessed are the to the meek, that's the gentle, you know, just to remind myself what really being a Christian is about. It's about being a peacemaker. It's about bringing love and gentleness into the world, about caring. That's what Christ wants us to be. He wants us to be those people. And we'll be looking in February at Matthew, but that's something that will, I'm sure, be highlighted then. And so, I said, just to read this again, may the God who gives endurance, and it does take endurance, I think, to be that loving and to work with people sometimes, and encouragement, give you a spirit of unity amongst yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus. So that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. So when you do become a peacemaker, when you do accept people who would normally not be in your little group, you are bringing praise to God. You are bringing his kingdom to the world, to earth. So next time you do something like that and you think, right, I'm really doing this for Christ, then you really are doing it for Christ. When you accept someone, when you work with someone, when you become a peacemaker in a situation, you are representing Christ. You are being a Christian in that situation. Okay. In Ephesians 4, verse 3, it says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. In some versions, in I think the King James Version, it says strive, because it is an effort. Make every effort. It's too easy, isn't it? You know, if you've been in a relationship, you know, it's very, very easy to sort of allow it to, you know, hold resentments and things like that, whatever that relationship might be, whether it's family or friends or work or church, and those resentments build up, and they can be, you know, they can sort of sour the whole thing. Well, Christ recognizes that as an issue. And he says, strive, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. Because Christ has brought that unity. We don't have to create the unity. He's brought that already. But what we tend to do is destroy that unity by not making the effort. And one of the great things about listening to Alison, and if Howard had been here when talking about street pastors, and next week we're going to have someone talking about the food bank and that sort of thing. And it's so many churches and so many Christians involved. How many churches did you say?
Most of the churches,
it's got to be about a dozen, I guess, is it?
Easily a dozen.
Easily a dozen. And, you know, that is, I believe that that is bringing the kingdom into Caerphilly. When a dozen churches who choose to meet separately, you know, including ours, choose to put their differences aside and to concentrate on what Christ wants. And what he wants is a demonstration of his love to the community, in this case, the children. In 1 Corinthians, for anyone that has studied Paul, he's not much of a comedian, really, <He's>, say the least. He's a bit very, very focused sort of person. You certainly wouldn't have wanted to have Christmas lunch with him, you know. But nevertheless, this is what he writes, and there's almost, I think, for me anyway, perhaps it's just me, but it's almost like a sense of humor here when he's talking about the unity that Christians should have. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So all the Christians form one body, the body of Christ. All Christians in the world, whatever denomination they go to. But in the New Testament, whenever a letter is written, say in Revelations, it's to the church in Sardis or Philadelphia, or Laodicea, or Thyatira, or whatever it might be. But it's not to the churches in those cities. So he wouldn't write to the churches in Caerphilly. He'd write to the church in Caerphilly, because in Christ's eyes, in the eyes of God, there's only one church, and that's his body. And for geographical reasons, obviously we're split into, sort of Caerphilly, Cardiff, etc. But he doesn't write to all the little churches. It's the church in Caerphilly, the church in Sardis, or whatever it might be. So the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek, slave or free. Can you imagine the challenge in those days when slavery was quite rife? That he's saying that whether you are a freeborn Roman citizen or a slave, you're the same before Christ, you know? And sometimes we let our very small petty differences, or whether we're Welsh or English, or whether we are black or white, or whether we speak with a North Wales accent or a Southeast of England accent, get in our way. It's nonsense, utter nonsense. You know, these are talking about extremes here, and he's saying you're all one in Christ. Whether you're a slave, you're owned by someone, you could be killed by your owner, and sometimes the owners were in the same church as the slaves, or a freeborn Roman citizen who owned slaves. You are one in Christ Jesus. Now, the body's not made up of many parts, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the, do you get a sense of humor he's coming out with now? Because I think he's just getting sort of fed up with it because it's so silly. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. So you are just what God wants you to be. He wants you to be better at it, probably. Certainly that would be true of myself, and I suspect most of us here. He wants you to be more of what you are, better at what you are, but he's very happy with you because he created you, Carol, Maria, Joe, whatever it might be, Anne, Kelvin, even Kelvin. You know, he's created us as he wants us to be. He's happy with that. He just wants to make us the best of what we are. Right, but in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. So one body, and the expression of 707 that we've heard tonight, that explained, that's an example of the church being one body, of it working together, using different skills. We found out that Alison's very, well, I found out this year anyway, because I went to one, that Alison was very good as a puppeteer. Don't know what that says about Nigel. But I was very good as an angel, I thought, but only because none of the children wanted to dress up as one, and suddenly I had a silver foil thing on my head and a blanket strapped around me. But I'm sure I was very good at it. And we're all good at, we're all, you know, can bring what God has given us to the job. And so if you feel that you want to help out in Christmas and Easter unwrapped, sorry, then see Alison after and find out what you can do, even if it is to be dressed up as an angel. Right, the last reading for tonight is from John chapter 13, and it's a new command. This is Jesus speaking now. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So, when the church functions together, so when Gateway functions well together, and we think like the meal that the Mark came up with the idea before Christmas, you know, we all got together and we made that work, or whether it be, you know, involved in 707 or whatever it might be. When the church works together, we display in just that. We display in the glory of God because of his, we show in that his redemption works. But also, Jesus says here, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So any demonstration of true love, true affection, true concern, true grace, true caring for one another is like a symbol to the world that Christ is alive, that Christ is the Savior, that Christ is God, that Christ redeems us. Because that naturally doesn't happen, that people who are slaves can share the same church as their masters. That Jews who were banned from eating with Gentiles and had very little to do with them at all, except perhaps through commerce, could live with and relate to and have relationships with Gentiles. And that is true of us, that when we work together, when we share our common bond, when we worship God, as we're about to do any second now, we are demonstrating that we love the same God, and that God has redemptive power that is working through us. So, I hope for your New Year's resolution you'd consider that one of those things about the love of God, and how we should be challenged, all of us, especially me, about how we relate to one another, how we share with one another, how Christ, through his Spirit, wants to give us a love for one another, and not just in an insular sort of way, you know, our little sort of family, but for the church and for the other churches, but also for the wider community in Caerphilly and beyond. Thank you.